Our scripture reading for today is the historical sermon or historical gospel reading for this past Sunday, taken from Luke chapter 14, beginning with verse 16. Then Jesus said to him, "A certain man gave a great supper and invited many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for all things are now ready.' But they all with one accord began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I've bought a piece of ground, and I must go and see it. I ask you to have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm going to test them. I ask you to have me excused.' Still another said, 'I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So that servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind.' And the servant said, 'Master, it is done as you commanded, and still there is room.' Then the master said to the servant, 'Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of those men who were invited shall taste my supper.' These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen." There are some very interesting wedding customs around the world. In Ethiopia, the groom and his groomsmen, the day of the wedding, go to the bride's home, and her family comes out in front of the house and stands in front of the door and acts as though they are going to block them from coming into the house until they first sing a beautiful romantic song that can coax the bride to come out of the house. In Poland, weeks before the wedding, the families of both the bride and the groom go around and personally hand deliver the invitations to the great wedding banquet that's coming. In Greece, a few days before the wedding, the relatives of the future bride and groom go to their future home, and they put on a big party, and they go into the bedroom, and they sprinkle money all over the bed, and they take the little children from the family and have them stand on the bed, and they sing songs. And the purpose of it is to want to be lavishing future blessings upon the couple. There were customs, of course, in Jesus' day as well when it came to weddings, and we see that reflected in our text. In first century Palestine, it was customary to send out an initial invitation to a wedding, and then the day of, especially if you were a wealthy family, to send servants out to actually invite and escort the guests now to the wedding hall. Sometimes you would even bring them clothing to wear for the 3-day celebration. And Jesus uses this custom in his day and the way invitations went out as a picture of some things for us to learn about the kingdom of God in a parabolic way. The invitation to come to the feast of salvation, the wonderful hope of coming to heaven, is depicted here in this invitation to come to this wedding banquet. And heaven is now open for everyone to come. And our Lord is depicting by the various excuses that are offered how our sinful hearts have a tendency to kind of downplay this invitation. Yes, to see it as important, but at the same time to come up with other things in our lives that tend to be a little bit higher in levels of importance. Now let's just take a close look at these interesting excuses that are offered. There are 3 of them. And they're not some big grandiose reasons. They're rather simple, lowly, mundane tasks and things, we might say, of day-to-day life. And Jesus really gives us to them in three realms, if you will. The first one is just that of possessions. The second is that of the importance of employment, or you might say the obligation to the duties that we have in this world and in this life. And the third one is depicted in the relationships of our lives, here shown by the man now being married. In a sense, you could say that all 3 of these represent and cover all the realms of excuses that we may have for declining God's invitation. Now, we need to be careful here to understand that Jesus is trying to show us it's not just big, gross sins that cause people to turn down the gospel, that it's just the average, everyday things of life. In fact, things that by themselves that are God-pleasing, things that God himself even commands us to do and speaks about in Scripture as far as how we are to treat them in our lives. This one man says, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go and see it. Isn't it interesting that oftentimes even the obligations we have to do things in our lives in this world, the world can give us a sense that we are so obligated to the stuff here that it gives us an excuse to neglect spiritual matters, as if somehow that's going to matter to God. Now it's important for us in this text to remember the audience to whom Jesus was speaking this. He was at the home of a very influential Pharisee who had invited him to dinner, and he now speaks this parable. And Jesus is here depicting the refusal by those who you might say are the most outwardly religious to show that even they can reject God's gracious invitation. You know, when we think ahead to Judgment Day, just try to imagine the types of excuses God is going to hear from people as to why they maybe at one time took his invitation seriously, but the other things that started to cloud their lives in the way and to become more important than that. Think of all the different excuses God is going to hear on Judgment Day. Have you ever been invited to something where maybe you think it's really good and a wonderful thing and you kind of, part of you would like to go, but at the same time, it falls at the same time that something else that's really big to you is going to happen, and you don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, or maybe the people around you who are all excited about this event, and so you maybe outwardly like to express and act like, oh yeah, this is a great thing, I'm going to be involved in it, I'll be there, and yet you know in your heart that it's the same night of that big game or whatever it is, and you know in your heart, I'm really not going to go, and I'm going to fake like I got the flu or something. Well, that's often the way we can be tempted to look at the invitation to the gospel as well. There's a certain audience of people, maybe those sitting right here today, who we like to act like, yeah, that invitation is so big and important in my life. And yet, inside, we can be tempted to decline. In our hearts, we can just give a fake acceptance of this invitation. Our Lord's words are a warning to us today. That's where our hearts are. We think of the Jews of his day who were first of all given the invitation, but God finally took it away from them. We hear in the book of Acts about how Paul and Barnabas were preaching to the people in Antioch, the Jews in the synagogue, and they said to them, since you reject it, meaning the gospel, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. We are not to trifle with God's invitation and his gospel invitation to us. Listen to the final words of our text. I say to you that none of those men who were invited, once they declined, shall taste my supper. If you think that you have time to gamble with God's invitation, then go talk to Pharaoh in hell. Go talk to the rich man who is pleading to have someone go back and warn his brothers from hell. Go talk to Judas and others, those who did have the gospel in front of them and yet rejected it. How wonderful it is that God's invitation still reaches us today. Come, for all things are now ready. Just think how weird it would be if you got a wedding invitation that on the bottom of it gave you a job you had to do for the meal, that you had to wash dishes or maybe help prepare the cake or do this or do that. That would seem kind of strange to us to be invited to someone's wedding. The feast that God has prepared for us is already set. It's already established. The work of Christ on the cross and his glorious resurrection has completed the work of establishing the banquet. It's finalized. Heaven is an accomplished fact for us that's already been done. It's not as though God is going to invite us to something that we have to work toward, that there's something left to do, that there's something unfinished for you in your life to possibly then, if you do it right, then get to heaven. That's not how it works. The banquet is set. It's already paid for. The tab has been covered by the blood of Christ. All that is left to do is to hear the invitation and come and sit down and enjoy the feast. All things are now ready. And so the Father's heart has graciously turned to the Gentiles. Listen, then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the lame and the blind. Go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in." God, in his heart, longs for sinners to come and fill his banquet hall. He wants as many as possible to be there at the Feast of Salvation. Remember, an elderly pastor said to me once, "When we arrive in heaven, there may be some real surprises of those who are sitting near you at the feast. Who are maybe some of the people that we won't expect to see there, but because the invitation has reached them, in faith they have come." Jesus uses an interesting word here in the Greek, to compel them to come in. It's a Greek word that means to convince somebody that something in their life is absolutely necessary, and to tug at their heart about it the way a friend would try to convince a friend or a parent try to convince a child. Isn't that neat how Jesus uses that as a depiction of the gospel invitation that goes out to call us to Christ? This is absolutely essential. Don't neglect it. And so today, if you happen to be sitting along the edge of the highway of guilt, hiding in the shrubs of despair because of something you've done in your life or a problem that you continue to wrestle with in your life that maybe makes you think and wonder if God could ever forgive someone like you and take someone like you to heaven, if you can hear me speaking to you today, his invitation is still open. Come, for all things are now ready. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks to you that through your holy word you have called us to your great supper. And we beseech you, enliven our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that we may not hear your word without fruit, but that we may prepare ourselves rightly for your kingdom and not allow ourselves to be hindered by any worldly cares. Through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen.